on verse 6. Actually, this is part 2 on obedience. Last week we went on obedience, and this will be the last part, or part 2 on obedience. 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." I'll tell you, you can write a whole book on this subject, or volumes and volumes. But I have brought it down to 45 minutes or so, the most important points. And this is a very important scripture, very important that how we need to walk after Jesus, how he walked. It's not an easy thing to do. And here we see he says that he abided in him, himself also as to walk, even as he walked. Okay, the word abide in Greek is meno, meno. It means to dwell, it means to remain, it means to stay. It means to live. The word is M-E-N-O in Greek. And the word, if you look here very carefully, he who says he abides in him, that's in present tense. It's not past, it's not future, it's in present tense. It means abiding in Christ is now, it's in present tense. It doesn't mean when somebody comes to church, you abide in Christ, and when you go home, you leave him and say bye to Jesus. No. It means abiding in Christ all the time. And so we Christians, we are to live in Christ all the time. We must be in Christ. Otherwise, we are not saved in the Lord. If we are not in Christ, we are not saved. The word in Christ, okay, or the word when it says here, he says that he must abide in him, that is in Christ. In Christ means in union with Christ. Okay? It means in union with Christ. It means in oneness with Christ. It means in unity. It means that act of joining two into one. It means that he is the head and we are the body. If he is the head, we are the body, we are one unit. Alright? The head cannot be separated from the body. Neither the body cannot be separated from the head. Jesus said in John 17:22, said, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." That means in unity, in oneness. If you remember, in Romans 12:5, Paul says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, every one members of one another." So in Christ means we are in union with Christ, together in oneness. So Christians, as Christians, we should live in Christ. Before the walk, we had to be abiding in Christ first. The word walk means a person's behavior or the conduct. Okay? The Christian should conduct or behave as Christ did. Now, first of all, we cannot conduct ourselves if we are not abiding in Christ. It is impossible to be like him. We need to be in him. What a blessed combination this is, abiding in Christ and walking in Christ. Isn't that a great combination? Abiding in him and walking in him. Outward behavior and inward rest in God. Jesus was in the Father's very bosom, wasn't he? But what a blessing was he when he came down to this earth. He walked on this earth, but it was a heavenly walk on this earth, because he was in the Father's very bosom. So you need to abide in him to walk that walk. Without that, you cannot walk. We must abide in Christ. Remember, even David, when he was in a wilderness, when Saul was coming after him, you know, he found shelter in the caves, and he found rest in God in those caves. And because in those caves, it was just like Jesus being the rock, and we can also find rest in him. He is the rock of ages. Cleft for me, we sing that song, right? Let me hide myself in thy face. So our life, actually, if you really see, our life from birth to death is a walk, isn't it? I was born in Sri Lanka, and I can see my walk from the very beginning, how I went to different schools and so forth like that, and came to this country and stayed in different places over here. It's a walk. It's a walk, and we are walking towards where? Reality for the Christian, we are walking towards heaven. All right? Just like John Calvin said, the grave is the exit to heaven for the Christian. So, it's a walk. So our life from birth to death upon this earth is a walk. Now, told you the first thing, the most important thing is to abide in Christ. A good scripture in abiding in Christ is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Turn to John chapter 15, starting from verse 4, says here, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You see that? If you don't abide in him, you cannot do absolutely nothing. Amen. Even Apostle Paul told to the, you know, in him we live, in him we move. We cannot even do nothing apart from him. And verse 6 says, If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, either you are in Christ, abiding in Christ, or you are not abiding in Christ and you are not in Christ. There is no middle ground there. Either you are living in Christ or living not in Christ. And here, as I said, this word is in present tense, abiding in Christ. Okay? How do you know that you are abiding in Christ? Jesus says it so clearly, you know, by your fruits. You shall bear fruits. There will be a change of lifestyle. Your lifestyle will change and there will be fruits. And you will become more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all know this scripture, if any man be in Christ. Again, in Christ. He's a new creature. You have to be in Christ to become a new creature. Old things have passed away. The new has just begun. So you have a new lifestyle in Christ Jesus. If you are not in Christ, then you are those branches that's going to wither away. It will be cast and be burned. That means we will be burned in hell. Now, this new lifestyle comes by hearing the word. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And even Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, because Jesus is the word. So his word should abide in us so that we won't sin against God. So his word is powerful. By his word, he created the universe. He created the earth. By his word, he calmed the storm. By his word, he healed the sick. By his word, he raised the dead. And by his word, he can make us a new creature. So by his word, he can change us. So if you abide in him, then we can walk the walk as Christ walked. So if we cannot be Christians, if you are not in Christ, we cannot, if you are living in television all the time, you are not abiding in Christ. You are abiding in TV. Some people abide in, you know, all the time drinking, in parties. Then you are not abiding in Christ. So we abide in Christ by his word. We need to read and study. Fellowship, prayer, worship, that is abiding in Christ. And we have fellowship with the Father because Christ has fellowship with one another. So we can also have fellowship with one another. And we can evangelize. When we evangelize in Christ. We fellowship in Christ. We worship in Christ. We study in Christ. We do everything in Christ. And we live in Christ to glorify the Father. Now, once we are in Christ, then we need to behave like Christ. Because Christ is in us, right? Children live with their parents. Oftentimes, they imitate their parents. In the same time, we are living in Christ and we should imitate Him. We need to follow Him. Because Jesus said, my sheep hears my voice, I know them, and they will follow me. Now, do not follow the world, especially the children. Do not follow the world. Do not follow the movie stars. Do not follow the worldly musicians. Do not follow the crowd. Do not follow the majority. If you do that, you're taking the broad road. Christ is not there in the broad road. Christ is in the narrow road, which leads to eternal life. Who is in the broad road? Satan is there. And he's there to deceive you and to trick you. And follow Christ. Christ alone. Hear his voice through the word of God. Because you know him. If you know him, you must follow him. He's our guide and he's our master. So do not conform to this world, but you need to conform to his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now even the quotation here, if you see this, this is by Robert Candlish. He says, I ask you, every one of you, how are you walking? Are you walking after the course of this world? Then I have to tell you that you are really walking after the prince of the air, that means Satan. Now, the second part I want to say is now the walk. Now this walk, I have given some subheadings for this, okay? If we are going to abide in him, we ought to walk as Christ did. So I have given some subheadings, and I'm going to go through in a nutshell each one of them. Alright? The first thing is we need to live a holy life. Alright? If you are walking in Christ, we need to live a holy life. And the word even holiness, the word holy in Greek is hagios, H-A-G-I-O-U-S. It means to be separated, okay? God is holy, that means he's separated from sin, alright? Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Says here, I'd like to start with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. It is amazing to see that Christ chose us before the foundation of the world. Okay? And it says that we should be holy. Alright? That's also in present tense, right? We should be holy. Now, this is the aim of election and the object of redemption. And this is the fruit of calling. This is the evidence of our adoption. We should be holy even Christ is holy. He gave His Son to die for us that we may die for our sin. God gave Christ to us we may live like Him. You are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, right? A holy nation. What does a peculiar people mean? It means we are extraordinary. It comes from the Latin word peculium. It means that we are extraordinary people. We are God's property. We are different. We are unusual people. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A different, separated, totally different than anybody else. Now we are in Christ. We are in union in Christ. We are joined together in Christ to one body, as I said. So we must walk as Christ did in holiness. Because Christ is the head and Christ is holy. If the head is holy, the body should be holy. Right? If you wish to see holiness, look at Christ. In Him, you see perfect holiness. In Him, you see all around personal, His character is all holy. Now the second thing is, if you are going to walk as Christ walked, you need to have self-denial. That's not an easy thing to do. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, 24, Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, that means after Christ, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. What would profit for a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will man give in exchange of his soul? Now, if anyone loves Christ, then he must follow Him. Someone might say, it's too hard to follow Christ. Jesus never said it's going to be easy following Him. He said, take My yoke upon you, learn from Me, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Self-denial means it's not torturing your body, as some people would like to do, It's not, beating up your body, torturing your body. That's not what it means. What He's saying is, I love not myself, I love Christ. I love not myself, I love Christ. We will be tested with all kinds of temptations to do the wrong thing in this life. Actually, we will be tested all the time, provoking us or tempting us to do the wrong thing. We will be tested to win popularity. We will be tested to withhold the truth, to become selfish. Then we need the grace of God to say, no, not this cannot be done. We should say, I love not myself, but the Lord. That is self-denial. I don't love myself. I love the Lord. Then we must say, I seek not myself. I seek Christ. These self-denials are very hard to the flesh. It's not easy. You understand? Daily you will face these temptations. It's not easy to the flesh. It's very hard. But this is how Jesus walked. And if we walk, we need to pray and ask the Lord to give us the strength. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come. When He goes, who will come? The Comforter will come. The Comforter there in Greek is Parakletos. It means Paraclete. It means really not a person who will come and take you out of your problems. A lot of times we pray, God, you know, Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Give us comfort so we will be out of this problem. If that is the case, then how come the apostles, the disciples, they went through heavy duty trials, tribulations, and they were martyred? What kind of comforter is that then? The comforter came and they were martyred. And they went through trials, difficulties, hardships. The comforter there, in Greek, it means the one who gives strength to go through the trials. Comforter means, in old English, even if you look at it, the person who will give you strength, the stamina, endure the trials. That's why they were not scared to go to be martyred. They were not scared to be martyred. They went in boldness. About 260 reformers were burned by Bloody Mary. When they went to be martyred, they went to be martyred as they were going to their wedding. As the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. So we need that strength from the Holy Spirit today. Especially for self-denial, to say no for temptation and yes to God, we need the strength. And the other thing is, when we are walking in obedience, it's not going to glorify us, it's going to glorify God and Christ, isn't it? If we walk as Christ walked, then we are glorifying Christ. We will have Christ-like behavior which will glorify Christ. Somebody said, you know, I see you, you're a Christian because you're different. Who is glorifying? Not you, glorifying Christ. Actions are stronger and more powerful than words. If we say we are Christians, and in action, we have a kind of a worldly, loose type conversation and loose type, very different behavior. How can the world see that we are Christians? How can the world see we are Christians if our behavior is not Christian-like? You may teach, even we may teach our children at home, and we can teach them in Sunday school class, but if they see our lives to be Christless, if they see our lives to be prayerless and godless, what are they going to learn? I mean, they will learn all the bad things of you, not the good things. So if we do not behave as Christ did, then it even weakens the preaching of the gospel, because the gospel is a live thing, it's a living thing. It should be we are the salt and the light. That means our conduct should be so important that it will glorify God. We need to witness, we need to evangelize, we need to walk as Christ did. You know, when Christ, you know, and we, that means what we need to walk as Christ did. Was Christ all the time in one church? No, he was on the road most of the time. He was teaching, he was preaching, he was praying. That's what we should be doing. We should be coming here, learning, then in our lifestyle when we go out. We need to have tracts, you know, in our pockets and so forth like that. Give it to them whenever you come across. So important. But also, in walking with Christ, we need to have that disciplined life. It's not easy to have a disciplined life. Nobody likes discipline. Even in your class, you didn't like discipline. That's one thing, nobody likes it. But the word disciple comes from the word discipline. If we are disciples of Christ, we need to be disciplined. Christ was obedient to the Father. And he came not to do his will, but the will of the Father. Now, as Christians, we need to walk as Christ walked. That means we need to do not our will, but we need to do the will of God. We came into this world, when we came into this world, when we were not Christians, man, we had all kinds of desires. We had all kinds of things that we wanted to do. Sin promised us a lot of things. Mostly wealth and freedom, but brought us back into the bondage. We didn't realize that we were in the bondage. But God in His mercy and His grace restored us and brought us back. Then we realized and repented. We are brought us back by Jesus Christ, who lived a disciplined life, an obedient life, in the same way